It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Can you hear me well?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Of course, you know what to do. If you like what you see and what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And just a few of the artists that we've had on recently, G-Eazy was on here not too long ago. We had Feist, Kylie Rogers talking about the movie Beau Is Afraid, Ted Lasso's Coach Beard, Brendan Hunt, and Bo and Yang to talk about Awkwafina Is Nora from Queens. Again, all of that when you subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Illenium, back with a new album. It's self-titled. Nicholas Miller. He's going to tell us, well, first off, why he considers it a prequel to his first trilogy, how it calls back to his early favorite bands like Linkin Park and Blink-182 and Bring Me the Horizon. And speaking of Blink-182, it's actually this album has Travis Barker on it, as well as Avril Lavigne on a track. So, of course, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then outside of the record, I want to ask about last year he remixed Taylor Swift's Antihero as an official remix. So we're going to get into the story behind that, going bigger on this latest tour, and partnering with End Overdose. All that and more. It's a new self-titled record. It's Kyle Meredith with Illenium.
What's up, Kyle? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. And especially, let me tell you how much fun I've had listening to this new album of yours, which, you know, you're coming off of like a streak, I guess, here. You know, you get Grammy nominated on Fallen Embers. How do you follow it up? Because there's something about what you do that it doesn't feel like it really ever stops. Like everything seems to be fluid. Is there a stopping point? You would say that campaign's done. Now I'm going to dream up something else.
I think I have a bit of an addictive personality, and I think I always like when I put Fallen Embers out and I had my big stadium show in Las Vegas in 2021, I was just like so inspired and really excited and wanted to kind of delve into new territory and, you know, visit some of the things that, you know, that kind of music that you listen to however long ago that was game changing in your development, and you listen to it, you go back and you kind of get transported back to the past. You know, it's like that. I don't know. It's just so powerful and it's so cool. And so I was really inspired and wanted to just create really big sounding, anthemic, huge. And I wanted to go all over the place, still like do some electronic stuff. And yeah, I got excited. It was fun.
Yeah. And then the grand concept comes to, I mean, as I read about it anyway, self-titling it, you said this is a bit of a prequel to everything else. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I always love tying a larger world. I love world building. I'm a big world building and fantasy kind of fan. And I feel like I've always kind of, I unintentionally kind of did it with the first trilogy, and it was very vague, but everything revolved around my logo's a phoenix, and that's kind of why I make music is it kind of helped me through a lot of personal stuff, and I want to give that to people and give people a chance to heal or a chance to redefine themselves, and which is what I was able to do. And so that kind of metaphor and the phoenix was always really just spoke to me. And I feel like I always kind of missed though in the fact of actually diving into worlds, you know, so that's kind of what I'm doing with this, is putting it as a prequel. Really, I mean, we're going mini movie, there's character development, we wrote 45 pages, there's a graphic novel, all this crazy shit. Yeah.
So further down that, then, what does that mean? Because are we talking about pure biography? Because when you talk about character development, I mean, this sounds like this is something different.
It's totally different. I mean, it's totally, we just wanted, my shows also inspire me to kind of create that storytelling, and albums are, that's why I love doing albums, is you can tell a story, you can go to so many different layers and go as up and down as you want with stuff. And I feel like if you just release singles, you can't tell that bigger story, in my opinion. And so I feel like this one, it just has so much, at least to me, that emotional punch as you listen through it. And I feel like that kind of sends me out of a world anyways. And so I kind of want to pair it visually, you know, with not only my single art and stuff like that is all kind of in the world, but even deeper, we kind of wrote a storyline that has a lot of tie-ins with my story, but it's a totally different world, and we have some cool characters, and this without going into crazy detail, it's I love gaming and stuff like that. It's kind of in that same thing where we're just telling a really cool story about growth, about connection, about healing and becoming better people. Honestly, it's really cool.
So what was it then? I mean, maybe you've already answered a little bit, but was there an impetus for why you sort of ended up in this spot for this part of the story?
I mean, not, it kind of like, I'm kind of just sending it, honestly. And I end up, I need something bigger than just a music video that's lovey-dovey and or something like that. I need something, I don't know. I feel like I try to make music that takes me out of the world. And so I want to tell something with that, you know, I want something on that scale especially with the shows too, from effects to the guitar playing and the drums, I want everything to sound out of this world, you know, crazy, crazy big. And so how I got here was I felt like there wasn't, it's almost like I wanted to set the baseline for the rest of the music I've created. You know, I wanted to actually have it all make sense. That's more, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Illinium. at some point, you know, you've got to reach for what you know, I guess. I mean, you know, even through the fiction, like musically speaking, I think that's what you were saying earlier. Are you reaching back then to the music that inspired you, that made you? And if so, who was that we're talking about in this context?
Yeah, I feel like I'm lucky enough to actually work with a lot of them on this album, which is sick. You know, like the music I listen to the majority of the time is rock or metalcore or you know, pop punk. I go back and listen to Linkin Park and Blink 182, you know, all the time, and I listen to their new stuff and Bring Me the Horizon, Motionless in White, Spearbox, Bad Omens, all of them. I'm like, I love that music and I love that sound, and I feel like a lot of that stuff, the good songs have that emotional punch, you know, that like just kind of whoa, like holy shit, that is like crazy. And I feel like that is paired with some electronic elements and paired with like some new drums and a little bit different mixing technique. I feel like that just takes it into a whole nother sphere, which is really was that why I was so excited about it, about this album. I just feel like it's not really present very frequently. Like I've done a couple songs here and there, but I feel like it's just a newer territory that I was so excited to find, because I was just a little bored, honestly, of the same like female vocal centered, you know, sometimes that I feel like the stuff I used to make that was much more a little slower and more stripped back. Nowadays, I only get excited for that stuff when the song is just insanely good, when the writing is perfect, when the vocal is like absolutely out of this world. Otherwise, it's just like falls behind all of the other songs that are done like that, you know. So it takes like a perfect song to actually revisit that for me. Whereas all the rock stuff, it's all new for me. It's all fun. It's all jam out. You know, it's sick.
I was going to say, you know, some of those names completely made sense. And I wouldn't have thought of until you said it and then started hearing it, like Bring Me the Horizon. I had Oliver on here not too long ago, you know, and talking, you know, the world building even that they do inside. Like, I sort of see those parallels in there. Yeah.
Love, like all the vampire stuff, all the dark, like bloody. It's crazy. Yeah, it's sick.
And then, of course, you mentioned Blink. And that sort of probably brings us to an obvious point in this record, because Eyes Wide Shut, you've got Travis and you've got Avril, you know, here we talk about the royalty of the genre.
Yeah.
how did you get hooked up and what can you tell me about this song? Cause it's, I mean, you're saying all my favorite stuff right here. So it's definitely hitting on that track for me.
Yeah. I mean, I love, so I got linked up with Travis. He remixed a song of mine, Good Things Fall Apart. And that was a while ago. And then, so I've always wanted to get in sessions with him and stuff. And so after lockdown ended, right at in the middle of 2021, that's right when I did my first like few sessions with him. And that's when this album started, honestly, was when we started with Lifeline. And then we did a bunch of songs, and he helped produce, he played drums on a bunch of the songs on the album. And I feel like he was a pivotal kind of producer and role in that, like in helping me find that like middle ground between full on rock and, you know, making it more my own. And I feel like the spectrum of the on the album, it goes back and forth. Like the Avril song, I did not want to try to force it into an electronic song, you know. That was supposed to be, you know, she sang it over Travis's drums with the guitar. Like that's what it, for me, that's what it should be, you know. I didn't want to, I brought the one contribution in the session. I had that little lead thing at the beginning. And then we played that piano over the bridge. And then I was pretty much just jamming out on guitar the whole time. I was like, this is, you know, fanboy moment for myself. So yeah.
Not the first time too. I sure, you, cause you've had Tom, also on a track too. I mean, these moments right here, right?
Yeah, for sure. And Tom's a legend. He's insane.
I'm sure did you catch the Coachella sets? Either one of them?
Yeah. I was watching it last night. Two nights ago on stream, and my fiance got me singing pretty hard. I was getting it. It was fun.
I mean, hearing the music, and then of course it's just as fun hearing what happens between the music with them. So it's great.
In the studio, hearing like Avril was cutting, and I was like, and you could hear it like behind the door, kind of, and then walking in and just hearing her voice over it. I was like, holy shit, this is fucking crazy. Yeah.
So very different vibe. Then you go down to From the Ashes, which is almost a little new agey what Enya, it, like, where does that vibe come from?
That ooh is a total Enya vibe. Yeah, it's so cool. I think that's kind of that song for me is like the bridge, you know, especially as the album plays out. I feel like there's parts where I'm full on synth heavy EDM, and then there's bridge songs that like bring the kind of EDM and rock and guitars in, and then it goes raw, you know. I feel like that's important, at least for me. If I want to listen to an album, I don't want to just go from here to here like crazy. I want to like kind of flow in and out. And also that song, you know, Skylar's like one of my favorite songwriters ever. She's just like a freaking legend. And so working with her was really cool. And her voice is just epic. Yeah. We got to write that song from scratch, and it was, like what the hell moment was when we were writing the chorus and we couldn't figure out like the last two lines, and I loved it, but I was like, and then someone said, so light your matches, and I was like, that is a weird word to put in, like matches, like I feel like it's so, and then Skylar just came in and I will rise from the ashes, and it was just this like, what the fuck, that was so, I was so stoked. I listened to that chorus just under the piano for like a night, a whole night, just repeat. It was so fun.
There's that Phoenix just waiting.
Yeah, so cool. It was so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And you get, I mean, you find a voice, like, you don't do like a lot of repeat collaborations, do you? I was trying to think through that.
Not really. I mean, I do with my one friend, Trevor Said This Guy. We've made a lot of songs, but we're also... we lived together for like 6 years. We share a studio. We're like, I've never not sent him a song and got his opinion. He's like one of my people that I trust entirely. And he does the same. He sends me all of his music. So we've had a collaboration on every album.
But is that tempting? I mean, like, because when you find that magic, right? When you find that magic and let's, you know, maybe it becomes a hit or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, isn't that tempting? Like, you want to, oh, we got to do that again. Or is it you're like, that was that. Now we move on.
Yeah. So I mean, I've worked with John Bellion after Good Things. Like, just he's an insane writer. So yes and no, I think. Sometimes I think if it depends on the song. Like, if the last song was magic and you happen to create magic again, cool. But I don't think it's a forced thing ever.
Well, it definitely keeps it interesting and keeps it varied when you put these albums out. And
yeah, I feel like producers doing production collaborations are different because it's not as much pressure, I feel like. Actually, interestingly enough, that's funny, you know.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Illinium. I mean, you did a stopover in Taylor Swift's world when you remixed Anti-Hero. What did you want to bring out in that song? Because this is a whole different world. This is, you know, her world.
Yeah, way different. I mean, it's just funny. Like, I got the stems to that song on like a Sunday night. I finished the song on like the Tuesday afternoon. And then they hit me up on the Wednesday morning and saying, we're putting this out tomorrow. And I was like, what the hell? It was like old school days, like throw it up on SoundCloud. Fuck it. You know, it was funny. But yeah, I mean, that was just like, I kind of knew where I wanted to take it just because it was in a tempo. It's also at like 96.97 BPM. I was like trying to figure it out. And I was like, are you serious right now? Are you so, it's so funny. Yeah, it was like, I knew where there was no electronic elements of it. Like, there wasn't many remixes out. So it was kind of like, I can do whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I was, I just wanted to kind of throw back mainly for my fans, but also as a fun song to play out as an older, you know, more synth heavy kind of older drum, like my older sound, especially diving in all this new stuff. I was like, okay, here, you know, I'm going to do this, and I still enjoy it because it's a Taylor Swift song and it's a banger. But also I was excited to, like, you know, for the singles and stuff, it was kind of a fan. I knew my fans would love it.
It's fun. You really did bring out something else in it that I didn't expect.
It's really fun to play. That was like the main, it was like, that was why I wanted to do it in the first place. I was like, song's a banger. It'll be fun to play. It's a great song pretty much at any show. So it was fun. They dug it. So it's cool.
Yeah. So speaking of the tour, you know, you were talking about that a little bit earlier and how it kind of works in with this world that you're building with this album.
Yeah.
You called it, I think I've read it somewhere, biggest and boldest yets. Like, what does that mean?
In terms of the tour, I mean, the last live show we did was Ascend. And just in terms of production value and sonically, the rehearsals we've been doing the past 2 months, I mean, it's just like night and day. Like, this sonically, you know, that was the first like band show I did in 2019 with drums and everything. And we, although I thought it was sick, there was like, I knew what I wanted to change this time around, mainly being remove everything, you know, in the songs, you know, I don't want drums. I want everything live, you know? And so we're doing that with guitars and everything. And it just sounds better. It sounds more fun. It sounds more authentic. And also just like the production and the venue sizes are just so much bigger. Yeah. You know, it's a 20,000 person venues all over the place. So it's crazy.
When you get a band like that, I mean, that's for me, that, of course, I'm attracted to that, you know, I mean, that's, look around me. That's no, you know, no secret there, but there is something about that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, the electronics or whatever coming at you for that vibe, but there, to have something to hold on to. Yeah,
totally. I mean, I think there's a middle ground for, cause I'd still love like bass music and I love, you know, really heavy, intense sound design and making new renditions of my songs and like twisting them and making them dark and crazy. And that is electronic, you know, to the core. So some of those songs, you know, the live drums will be pulled back a little bit, throw some sidechain on them, and it'll still add a really cool organic layer. And then there's the rock songs that are like, leave them dry in your face, you know. So it's cool to be able to have so much control now. I can kind of go in pre-viz and like, literally I have MIDI tracks for each drum tone and each like EQs for each song with what drums I want to poke through and stuff like that. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I can't honestly wait to hear what that sounds like. Yeah.
It's too much. I can go for, plus you have all the guitar tones and you can like, you can go into your Ableton project and like map the volumes of guitars and the silence of guitars and switching to clean tones on perfect timing. It's just a lot of, you can really chase like as perfect as you want, which is cool.
That's a long ways away from just stomping the distortion pedal when the chorus hits.
100%. I know. It's like, you guys can move around now and you don't have to like run back to the pedals. It's like pretty sweet.
And on a serious note too, End Overdose. This is something that you're also bringing on the tour, right? I'd love you to talk about that.
Yeah, as many venues as we can. I mean, they're they're an awesome nonprofit, and their main goal is to, I guess they have a few, but their main one is educating, pretty much just bringing awareness and education to people, because it shouldn't be like, you know, the term overdose, but the term heroin or opiate or fentanyl, it's all like very fucking scary, and it is, it's life-threatening shit. But I do think combating it with a more welcoming, like, it's a, like, this is gonna happen, and if we just do some awareness and anyone know, like, I carry Narcan around wherever I go. It's just an easy thing to carry, and it's a drug, or it's a pretty much an opiate blocker, you know. If someone is overdosing on fentanyl and you give them Narcan, you save their life. It's like an easy, especially I've been sober for a long time, but it's just, you know, I know a lot of people that have passed away from overdoses. It's a total like epidemic, and it's pretty combatable, you know, if we just are aware and less scared. Like, we should be scared of the overdose, but we shouldn't be scared of like exploring what we can do as each individual to be prepared for it.
And it's just great how that conversation's changed. Like, I'm in Louisville. I'm in Kentucky here, right across the river. You know, they've set up the, you know, the vending machine style to grab the, you know, that stuff over there. And just to finally be having a different conversation, because the old conversation obviously wasn't working.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is as much about, you know, knowing basic CPR type of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing. It's like, It should be like as easy as we know to dial 911. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we know, oh, I have a friend or I have this and this is how you use it. You know, it's like eating. I mean, if it became that easy, that's so many lives saved. And so many of the ones, in my world, in electronic music, in the live world in general, is accidental and not, you know, it's not like I was an opiate addict. Most of these people are, you know, just experimenting and trying to have fun and find themselves and shit, and they shouldn't be punished by the death sentence. You know, it's fucked up.
Right. Well, I'm so happy that you're out there spreading that message on this tour where you can. And what sounds like an insane show coming up. Nick, thank you so much. This album, again, this has been a lot of fun to listen to. So I'm really excited to hear how the it all opens up.
I'm pumped. I can't wait. It's been on my mind for too long. I'm so impatient. So I'm stoked it's here.
Right on, man. Thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
And my thanks to Nick. Illenium, the new album called Illenium. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode in the series. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. If you enjoyed this, you're going to enjoy all the rest too. You get 3 interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
My studio is a space shuttle. It has one little window in it.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.